I see that the time has arrived and it's 9:20. So it's time to get ourselves started with our hymn sing. Thank you very much, Diane, for being here with us this morning. I've loved your intro music. As a matter of fact, a song that you played is number 140, and I can't remember, 140. it's like, okay, but what was the title of it? The title of it is, pardon? It's like, great is thy faithfulness. And as you were playing, and I thought, oh gosh, I just love that song. I'll have to remember and find the number so that I can offer it up as a first song for us to sing. So I'll offer that song as a first song to sing. And then in the meantime, you'll all be looking for a song to sing. I expect to have something from David to suggest. And anyone else as well, please think in terms of a song that you'd like to sing. So for our beginning song, let us sing number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. Another song. Ron. 644. Jesus, joy of our desiring. Thank you. Yes. 334. Number 334. That is sweet, sweet spirit. Another. Which number? 156. Thank you. 156. I love to tell the story. And do you have a preference for verses? 1 and 4 then? I love to tell the story. 156. Joining with us in this hymn sing this morning, bringing in our new year. And I forgot to tell you all, Happy New Year to you all. And now we'll continue. Thank you. Thank you very much, Diane, for that beautiful prelude. Good morning, and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. My name is Susan Walmsley. Brent Rolfe is unable to be with us this morning. He's not feeling well, so our prayers go to Brent for a speedy recovery. It's so wonderful to be here with you this morning on the first day of the year. How exciting. This hasn't happened in I don't know how many years, probably seven. But anyway, who can remember 7 years ago? This is like a wonderful way, in my opinion, to start our new year of 2023. Let's all say that, 2023. Golly, we've all said it, so we've started the new year and we're ready to go. Now we just have to remember to write it for all of us who still write checks. It's 2023, not 2022. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here on this wet morning, but how we need the rain. It's just unfortunate, I believe, that it can't get metered out. Instead of, you know, 5 inches falling in 1 minute, spread it out over a couple of days. Anyway, we are here, and I'm glad to see you all here with us today. So we have some announcements, and how wonderful, we have birthdays to celebrate. I didn't see Mike on the screen, but it's Mike Pasilli's birthday, Harold Hudson, Bill Klein, he could be up there, I didn't notice him. Lorene is her birthday, and I understand didn't make it to church with us this morning, but her family's here, they'll celebrate her birthday, I'm sure. Gary isn't here, Gary Barlow, Audrey Parra. Your birthday always comes as we start another year. January is your month. Your special day is here. It's the winter where most days are cold and dreary. So here's a birthday wish for you that your day is bright and cheery. And this poem, I'm sorry, who did you tell me wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it, but Lauren put it in.
Okay. Excellent. So Lauren Schaefer, who is in the office, is the one who provided us with the poem. The poem is unknown, so we'll have one each month. How wonderful that will be as an addition to our birthday. So happy birthday to all of you who are having birthdays this month. And then hopefully you've received your January newsletter by now. I received mine via email, and it was wonderful to see all those pictures of everyone, and I saw several of the caroling group once again. I can't say enough about the caroling. I thought that was so much fun. Hadn't done that in some time. So saw those pictures as well as a number of youth children's pictures. So please make sure to take the time to read our January news letter. And there are some copies if you haven't gotten yours. In the narthex. And then, of course, the first Saturday of the month means that it's free Saturdays and movies, too. So we have free Saturday movies. And the first one is going to be on January 7th at 11 a.m., Gigi and Nate. So that movie is coming to us, and we welcome you to join in the Faith Theater 2, lovely setting for great movies, and you can read what that one is about. And next we have our Whiteboard Bible Study, Volume 2. This will resume, as you see, on January 8th in the Camellia Room. So this will start at 11 o'clock and go until 11:45. This is a video study covering a divided nation to the Gospels. This is a 6-week study. So that's going to be January 8th, so be sure and put that one on your calendar as well. My recollection is that was spoken to in the newsletter as well. And then lastly on the announcements is Hearts Grow. On the second and fourth Sundays, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of the fellowship time. Parents are welcome, of course. This is a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages using the arts to connect us to the Creator. So this is held in the children's church room. So that is the second and fourth Sundays. And the first Sunday of the month is always our Good Samaritan Fund, although your encouraged and welcome to give to the Good Samaritan Fund any day of the month. So the Good Samaritan Fund helps us to give money or Stater script cards to those persons who are less fortunate and may be in need of food. We appreciate your contributions to the Good Samaritan Fund. And I believe that may be all of our announcements that we have. And so if, as you would, please stand for our call to worship. And join me in the call to worship. O God, you made of one blood all nations, and by a star in the east, revealed to all peoples, him whose name is Emmanuel. Enable us to proclaim his unsearchable riches, that all may come to his light and bow before the brightness of his rising. Amen. And now if you'll join me, please, in singing We Three Kings, number 245. And now we have passing of the peace, if you will kindly wave and high five or scream out, Happy New Year. Welcome to the United Methodist Church. We have persons who are joining us on our Zoom session. So I can see the Crabtrees and I can see the Barretts and I see Mary Brubaker and George and Marilyn. Debbie Wilson is out there. The Pistillis are there. Happy birthday, Mike. And June Fisher is there. Does she have a visitor with her?
Joyce is right next to her, June and Joyce.
Oh, I miss June and Joyce. Oh, in the picture. Okay, got it. I knew there had to be somebody else with her. Excellent. So those with joys or concerns, Lois must have a joy. Do you have a joy for us this morning?
I
Oh, good. Excellent. Good, good, good. Deb's coming with the mic. If you have a specific joy.
Did I indicate that?
Pardon?
You're still standing up. That's what she said. That means I'm still asleep. I have no other joy.
I have joys that we have rain. That's kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
I have a super joy. I've been praying for 3 years. I have two sons that have been on the street, 1 5 and 1 3. The one that's been on the street for 3 years has 5 children. And the mother of these kids have been on drugs. My son has finally turned his life around. And I got to see the grandkids yesterday, and I got to spend time with the oldest grandson who's been in the Army. And he told Ron and I, he goes, you know, my life could have been so much different growing up in a drug and alcohol and gang-infested neighborhood. He goes, it's my quest to stay in the Army and make a career of it. And he goes, Grammy is not going to be able to always watch the other 4 kids who are 13, 11, 7, and 3. I was supposed to take the 2 little ones 3 years ago, and I had a stroke, and the judge would not give the kids to me. But I have to say, those of you that have kids, you know, no matter how hard you try, sometimes they go astray. But you have to continue to pray and pray, because if you give up, they're never going to make it. And I have to say, I have prayed and prayed. And I know God's answering that prayer. And I am so proud of my grandson that I told him, I said, you know, you've made a commitment, and I'll never give up on you. And I thank everyone that has prayed for me, for these kids, that just keep continuing to pray.
Amen.
Well, yeah, that is absolutely.
There you go.
There you are.
Battery?
Could be the battery.
I'll bring you one. Or two.
Meanwhile. Yes. I have a joy also involving grandchildren, although it pales in comparison to your own. But my 5-year-old grandson, Oliver, has introduced me to a brand new word, as only a child can do, in referring to his younger twin sisters, young Cora and Amelia, who are 3 years old, while Oliver is 5. And Oliver has informed me that he goes to the same school as Cormelia, and that Cormelia would not like to eat that. And so he's devised a composite word to refer to both of his younger twin sisters at the same time collectively, and that word is Cormelia. And that was just delightful to me, and I thought it was worth sharing with all of you.
How does Cormelia feel about that?
Cormelia doesn't care.
Yeah, just now my microphone is working. The prayer business never ends, you know, for our church, for our nation, for the world, for our children, for our loved ones. And I encourage you to continue. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I have a joy. Richard and Lucy Brumbaum, I get to talk to them back and forth every week. We can talk on the telephone. They're doing quite well. And to my knowledge, they haven't gone to church yet, but there's a church nearby. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they talk about is the food. anyway, I think they're doing quite well. With their son spends a lot of time with them, and I think that's quite a joy to have family surround you and help you. I know it was great when they lived here. They lived with one of their sons, and now they're trading off and with another son. And it's hard to believe they've been there almost a year. So it's a joy to get to talk to them and feel the closeness of them being with us.
Texas.
In Texas. I can't remember the name of the town, but it's in the bulletin. It'll give you the address.
Yeah. I think it's McKesson or something like that.
This, I'm Pat Shores. The first thing I want to say is a big thank you to all the people who came out to my sister's house and sang Christmas hymns for her, and then a surprise happy birthday. She was just amazed that the people at church seemed to know when her birthday was. Anyway, she really enjoyed it, and I thank all of you who came out and sang. The next thing is, I'm grateful for the rain. My dad was a farmer at heart, and he was always so worried about how much water it took to water all the plants. And anytime it rained, he thought that was God's good work, and I agree with him. And we got a pretty good rain the last day or so, so more to come. So I think he's up in heaven saying, hey, it's working. And the other thing is I have several calendars that I brought in for next year, or this year now. And I put them in the social hall. And so they're free to anybody that wants them. So if you need a calendar for 2023, get a calendar.
Is there anyone online who has a joy to share? Just put up your hand. I see there June has one to share.
Did you have a request? No. Oh, I'm sorry. Because when you talked before, you were muted.
Okay, so nothing.
I guess we're okay. We're in good shape. Thank you.
Good. Very good.
And also pray for Gina. You know, remember Gina and Spo? Yeah. Gina was diagnosed with COVID and has been dealing with the symptom for a while. And she's getting better, though. She's getting better, and she's very hopeful to be able to come out and then, you know, be active again. So remember Gina in your prayer.
Very good. Thank you for sharing all your joys and concerns. And now if you'll please join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we constantly worry about what tomorrow will bring and allow uncertainties to weaken our faith in you. Surely you are always with us through good and bad times. Lead us into peace, knowing that you are the all-sufficient provider. Grant us wisdom to follow your lead, for you direct our steps so that we may arrive at your haven. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all of our loved ones, those whom God has placed in our life circle, those who need our prayer support. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate our life today because it is the beginning of the new year, and we are so happy that we can begin our new journey by worshiping you, by praying to you. We are here to remember your goodness of your mercy, not just last year, but all throughout our lives. Lord, we still remember very well how painful it was to endure the pain and suffering at particular moments in our life, we sometimes wondered if we could survive. But Lord, over and over, you have demonstrated your presence, your power, your guidance, your provision, your grace, your love. And by your grace, O Lord, we have come this far. It is only by your grace, by your mighty hand, that we have come this far. So we thank you for all that you have done for us, individually and for all your churches, for this nation and the world. As we look ahead into this new year, we do not know what our future holds, but Lord, we can jump right in because we have this faith. We have this marvelous experience of your power in our life, which we have experienced over and over. Nothing can shake us up, and we will never be moved, for you are with us today and forever. So, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you have prepared for us to receive during the new year. There are many uncertainties that we are questioning about. We often become doubtful because we are weak in faith. But, oh Lord, we still hold on to you no matter what. And we know that you will continue to fulfill your will, your good and perfect will upon our lives, upon our loved ones, upon our churches, upon our communities, our nation, and the world today. So, Lord, we acknowledge your presence in our life. We acknowledge your power in our life. We acknowledge your will and your plan in our life, and humbly submit to you once more. And at this time, we join our hearts in prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now if you'll join, please, in singing We Would See Jesus, number 256.
Christ of God, the light, the truth,
Lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 16. I'll turn on some light. And I read, "Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet of Jeremiah." Oops, I read too far. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Susan, for being the liturgist in a very, very short notice. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve together. And I wish all of you here in this beautiful sanctuary and all those who have come to worship with us via Zoom, Happy New Year. The new year will be a great year. I have a lot of hope that this year we will be able to make a lot of progress coming out of COVID, and there will be a lot of recoveries in many different areas of our life. So I am very, very hopeful. A man was fascinated by homing pigeons and decided to breed his own. After he became successful in breeding, he moved on to training his bird to return home from anywhere he released them. even several hours away. He lost a lot of pigeons in the course, but found one particular bird that finally met all his expectations. It flew home no matter the distance. He was proud of his favorite homing pigeon. The man bragged so much that another pigeon enthusiast decided to challenge him. A bet was made that the pigeon wouldn't come back from a place this other pigeon enthusiast could take the bird to. The challenger took the bird and drove across the country, arriving at the coast 3,000 miles from the pigeon's home. He cut the pigeon's wings. The proud owner did not know what he did to his treasured pigeon and patiently waited for his bird to return. A month became two, then four became eight, but the owner was not giving up. 10 months later, the bragging pigeon owner was sitting in his house when there was a knock on the door. He opened it to find his pigeon standing there. Filled with joy, the man swept the pigeon up in his arms and started to kiss him. The pigeon said, "Be careful, my feet hurt." Walk 3,000 miles instead of flying. Traveling a long distance is not an easy task. In the old days, we used to carry maps to travel long distances. Remember those days? You know, when I've been to many different parishes, one of the first things that I did when I was appointed to a new church was to get a map of the town where the church was located. Otherwise, I couldn't go visit them and take care of the businesses because I don't know the town, right? Today, people do not need maps anymore thanks to the GPS function built into cell phones. And this is another reason that we have to carry cell phones always. We guess that the Magi's journey would have taken a long, but we do not know the specifics. Matthew's gospel is the only place where these mysterious figures appear in the entire Bible. There seems to be no other biblical clues. Therefore, we jump to conclusion and think that we do not know about them and what their journey was like. However, the Bible offers a lot of information about them. And I'd like to share about what I found this morning, and then this is going to be a short one, but a comprehensive study of the Magi. In my opinion, their travel distance was over 600 miles. The duration could have been from a few months to 2 years. Their means of transportation were possibly camels, the primary method of travel in ancient times. Their journey was an extensive, tiresome, and arduous one. Why do I understand so? Because I see more than several pointers about who the Magi were and where they came from in the Bible. So let's begin with brief depictions of who they were in Matthew chapter 2. First, their title. The English word wise men is a translation of the Greek word magos. Magos originated from the old Persian word magus. Magus was a Zoroastrian priest in Persia. Some call Zoroaster the inventor of magic. Another place in the New Testament that uses the term magus is Acts 13. There it says, Paul and Barnabas arrived in Paphos and met two sorcerers. by Jesus and Elymas. Paul confronted Elymas and said that he was full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. A Greek use for a sorcerer is magos, who actually practiced magic. In this sense, we could have translated the magi as magicians. The Bible translated did not translate the magi as magicians, but as wise men. Why did they? It was because they weren't just magicians. Magoi, or magi, is plural, right, were experts in astronomy and alchemy. This agrees with Matthew's gospel. The Magi knew the star had to do with the birth of the king of Israel. In classical Greek, Herodotus in 5th century BC identified magos as an interpreter of omens and dreams. So the magos was the Persian word that gives a bit of a hint. The second hint found in the gospel is that they were from the east. I mean, east is a very abstract word. It does not point to a specific locality. But another hint in the chapter reveals a specific geographic area. You know what that is? It's their country. They returned to their country by another route. A church tradition identifies the three kings or wise men as Balthasar from Arabia, Melchior from Persia, and Gaspar from India. But according to Matthew, they were from one country, not three. So what would be a country in the east? Okay. Israel was under the Roman Empire rule, we know, encompassing every country around the Mediterranean Sea. During the time of Jesus, a country in the east was, that's a very simple answer, Persian Empire, which consists today's Iraq and Iran. Persia covered a vast geographical area and was the only country outside the eastern border of the Roman Empire. Therefore, all three hints, the word magos, the east, their home country in the Gospel of Matthew, indicate that the Magi came from where? Persia. So that's to me an accurate interpretation. Now, there is at least one more hint about their origin in the Gospel of Matthew, and that is in chapter 1 of Matthew. You know, what's in the chapter 1? Genealogy, right? And I'm going to ask you to guess what it is. There's one more hint about who the Magi were in the chapter, and it's in the genealogy, okay? And it is toward the end of the genealogy. And it is a geographical area. Can you guess what it is? You actually have heard many, many times, and you haven't made a connection to it. I'll give you one more. This locality was mentioned only in Matthew's gospel, and that maybe in among only place among four gospels. You are very familiar with it. What is it? Babylon. Yes. Well, you know that. And you know what Matthew chapter 1 indicated it, and Matthew 2 says from the east when Matthew wrote it, because there is a connection there. He wasn't mentioning something that people did not know. It was a very familiar place. And now let me explain why I think there's a connection there. Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire conquered Israel and took its people to his country. We call them exiles. Daniel was one of the exiles to Babylon and served in the king's council along with astrologers and wise men because of his wisdom and his ability to interpret dreams and omens, and that's according to the book of Daniel. Daniel introduced Jehovah's faith to Nebuchadnezzar, who publicly confessed his faith in Jehovah God. Persian Empire, that's the Babylonian Empire. Shortly after, Persian Empire took over the Babylonian Empire. But interestingly, Daniel continued to serve in the king's council of Persia. It's a different government, different empire, but Daniel continued to serve. Darius of Persia loved Daniel, but had to order to throw Daniel into lion's den, you know that, because of his decree he made. Having witnessed that the lion did not hurt Daniel, Darius ordered all those conspirators to be thrown into the den. And Darius issued a decree that his people should fear Jehovah God that Daniel served. Daniel died around like 536 BC, but the Persian Empire had lasted under different names for another millennium until like 650 AD. So, at the time of Jesus' birth, Persian Empire was called the Parthian Empire, or some call it Persian Empire. So this is the point. Even though Babylonian Empire collapsed, Daniel continued to serve new kings under Persian rule. Daniel's services to two different empires affirm that the same governing structure of Babylonian was maintained in Persia. That's why Daniel could continue to serve in the king's council. And the fact that the Magi came from Persia shed light on the fact that the governing structure was unchanged at the time of Jesus' birth. And this gives a lead to who the Messiahs were. They were highly educated intellectuals who served in King's Council of Persia, just like Daniel once was. So there are a lot of hints in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's connected to the Babylonian Empire and in the book of Daniel. Now, there's a little more. Speaking of exiles in Babylon, Cyrus of Persia allowed Jews to return to Israel in 580 BC. But only about 50,000 Jews from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin returned home in Judea. I share this with you. So what happened to the rest of the 10 tribes? They were lost. But you can imagine that at that time of the exiles' return, only two tribes returned to Israel, tribe of Judah, tribe of Benjamin, along with the Levites, right? They were the priests. The 10 tribes continued to live in Persia. A lot of them, and practiced their faith in God. Among them were prominent Jews we all know, like Nehemiah, Habakkuk, and Queen Esther. Consequently, Persians were familiar with the God of Israel. Now, I'll share with you one more. The book of Daniel was written in Hebrew and in Persian language, which was the Aramaic. it contains, Book of Daniel contains a lot of prophecies about the coming Messiah and pinpoints the timing of his coming as the Roman era. That's what the book of, you know, why the book of Daniel was so fascinated about. It pinpoints and said that the Messiah would come during the era of Roman Empire. Okay? So Mordecai would have been familiar with Daniel's prophecies about the coming Messiah. With all this in the background, we can surmise that the Magi's were familiar with Israel's tradition, culture, religion, and prophecies. And they could figure the meaning of the bright star without much difficulty because they knew the prophecies. They were familiar with the teachings and religions of Israelites. Let me wrap it up. Babylon is located on the far west side of ancient Persia, closer to Israel, right? So Mediterranean Sea is there. Israel is right under the southeast west corner of the Mediterranean Sea. And then Roman Empire extended a little over outside Israel, right? Right at the border of the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire sits the city of Babylon, okay? Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, is about 55 miles south of Baghdad. So the Magi came from the Persia, right? So if they could have studied on that very eastern corner of the empire, they would have at least traveled over 600 miles, and their journey would have taken from a few months to 2 years. It was not an easy journey. In the ancient times, they could have been easily lost on their way, but they did not. And we know why. Because of the guidance they received from that bright, shining Bethlehem star. Even though their instinct caused them to go to Jerusalem, they were only 5 miles off from their final destination in Bethlehem. I mean, out of 600 miles, well, could be more, could be 1,000 miles, right? But at least over 600 miles. Out of 600 miles, 5 miles off was not that bad at all. It was actually very accurate. And I said that, you know, it was more accurate than today's GPS, global positioning system. You know why? GPS has all the information on road built into it and can only navigate on previously mapped out road. But the Magi's itinerary included routes through mountains, valleys, and desert, which today's GPS cannot handle. The divine navigation system is superior to the global positioning system. It is actually, I would call it, superior GPS, God positioning system. This God positioning system was so accurate for the Magi, and it is still so for us today. Our life journey has many turns, many curves, and dead ends. No one can tell his itinerary, but God can. Look at what was included in God positioning system to guide the people on the first Christmas. God sent angels to speak God's word. Through dreams, God spoke to them. God showed the Magi the way through a dazzling star in the sky that they could not miss. Sometimes God's way of operation may seem mysterious, but not always. God shows a clear sign of the direction that we all can see clearly and follow easily. But we sometimes get lost and wonder if God is there to guide our path. We get lost not because God is not intervening in our lives. We get lost because we depend upon our instinct and our intelligence and look elsewhere. The Magi rely on their educated guess and went to the wrong city, but corrected their journey by God's positioning system. The new year brings a lot of uncertainties and insecurities, and our journey is no different from the Magi's traveling into uncharted territory. Let us turn on God's positioning system within us and follow the path God shows us. God does not make any mistakes and will guide us not only during the year 2023, but all throughout our earthly journey. Amen. Amen. Now let us prepare ourselves to come before the table of God's mercy at this time. The Lord be with you. Let us lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. as we take the bread from the table that Jesus has prepared for each and every one of us, let us remember Christ's body was broken into pieces for our salvation. As we participate in drinking from one cup, let us remember the body of Christ. Jesus was broken, and the blood of Christ Jesus was shed to the very last drop for the forgiveness of our sins. So now, with the thanksgiving, let us take bread from the table of the Lord and drink from the cup. Let us pray once more. Lord Jesus Christ, we are forever grateful as we stand before your cross. We are so grateful that we begin this new year by remembering your sacrificial love. And pray that we will continue to give you thanksgiving no matter what. Even when we face difficult realities, may we always remember that you are with us and your sufficient grace is available for us. We thank you for this wonderful reminder of your presence and of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now is the time for our presentation of our tithes and offerings. David Brown is going to sing, so I encourage you to leave your tithe and offering at the plate at the back of the room. And also, if anybody needs envelopes for this year, 2023, there's many of them out in the narthex, but I have many more. If you need more, please let me know after service.
Thank you. and ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power unleaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, because you gave yourself up for our salvation, we owe everything unto you, O Lord. We give you this thanksgiving from the blessing that you have given unto us. So, Lord, we ask you to receive this offering and bless it, that we may continue to extend your kingdom in the world through the mission and ministries of this congregation. And may our heart always be filled with thanksgiving unto you, unto your cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now if you'll join in singing our communion hymn number 128, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, you are our good shepherd forever. You guided us into the green pastures and quiet waters. With your guidance, O Lord, we are never lost. And we are here again, committing ourselves to follow your lead faithfully wherever you lead us. May we always trust that your guidance is the perfect option for all of us to follow, and may we humbly yield ourselves to your lead. So, Lord, we will follow you wherever you lead us to. And as we commit ourselves to do so, we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us, and send us forth back into the world in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love.